720 WGN. Ken Smith with you. And right now I'm joined by, from Dispensary 33 in Chicago, Abigail Watkins and Paul Lee. Welcome to 720 WGN.
Thank you, Ken.
Thank you for coming in on this Wednesday night. I don't want to be rude. Would you like some Long John Silver's crumbs? I don't know if you're listening earlier.
No, thank you very much.
If you might get the munchies later, this would probably be perfect.
Perfect. Thanks, Ken.
So I wanted to have you in because, as we all know, marijuana is going to be legal at the beginning of the year. Yep. Recreational marijuana is going to be legal at the beginning of the year. And I wanted to talk to you about the difference between medical marijuana, the legal marijuana. But I want to talk to you a little bit about vaping first. But before we get into that, Paul, tell me, what is Dispensary 33? I know you're located, where would it be? Like
Clark and Argyle in Andersonville.
Andersonville, okay.
Yeah, and Dispensary 33, we are a medical cannabis facility. We've been open, we were the first open in Chicago in 2015, December 9th. We are very... we are a very particular dispensary in the fact that we are very, we like to curate our selection as, in terms of providing the best cannabis products we can in Illinois. So we take a lot of time to do our research on the cannabis science and all the products that we do curate. And again, starting next year, we'll also be recreational as well, like you said. So we are getting ready for that, definitely.
So as of the first, you'll be able to sell recreational marijuana and you'll be able to sell the medical marijuana as you've been doing since 2015, you said?
Right, yeah. So currently you have to be a medical cannabis patient in order to purchase from us. But starting January 1st, we'll also be able to sell to the general public if you're above over 21 years of age.
Okay, sounds good. Be sure to check out the CB app or hit up Facebook and tell Chicago's Best TV where you like to eat. Watch Chicago's Best Sundays at 10 p.m. on WGN-TV. Your pick may be Chicago's Best. Now, I know that a couple of weeks ago I was talking about sports betting and how you can sports bet now. If that's going to be legal on the 1st of January as well in Illinois, but you can already go to Indiana, you can already go to the horseshoe, go to the boat and do it.
Sure.
And I talked about how intimidating it must be to go and make that bet for the first time. I can't imagine how intimidating it must be to walk into a dispensary for the first time. And first of all, you probably are expecting sirens to go off and gates to come down behind you.
Right.
And, you know, it's a sting. Right. Exactly.
Yeah.
Do you find that when people come in there for the first time, Abigail, they're deer in headlights?
Oh, they're so excited.
They're so excited.
Well, it depends on the person. Sometimes, I mean, currently, since we are a medical cannabis dispensary, sometimes patients have never smoked before. And so we have to take that into account, their experience level. We do a first-time patient interview with them, help them kind of navigate the whole process. But it's a whole new experience. You're walking into a retail experience you've never seen before, never been before. You've never gotten a receipt for your cannabis before. But those who have smoked, like, it's so exciting.
So what do you have to do in order to obtain a medical marijuana card? What kind of illnesses do you have to have? And I'm sure that I know that cancer, you know, for years everybody talked about, my dad hated only hippies smoked marijuana until he got cancer, you know, and then he wanted me to get him some marijuana.
Right.
So just very quickly, what are some of the ailments where it is illegal in Illinois to have a medical marijuana card in order to get that?
Yeah, so in Illinois, there's over 50 qualifying conditions. They just expanded it to more in August. So
okay.
Some of the most common are cancer, PTSD, or post-concussion syndrome. But recently, like, chronic pain was added to the list, which is huge.
What is chronic pain?
Chronic pain is just... you know, it's a generic symptom, or someone, basically if someone's complaining of pain.
Oh, wait, or do you mean away. Chronic pain?
All right.
That's it really does open up access to a lot of people in Illinois, for sure. But yeah.
Yeah, so it's basically a patient complaining of pain that's not going to be going away, and, you know, it's going to basically be staying with them for perhaps the rest of their life. So cannabis really helps with a lot of that type of pain that you can't cure with traditional opioids or medicines.
Oh, now I asked my doctor, my primary care physician, mm-hmm. about a medical marijuana card, and she said that she could not issue one.
Well, doctor,
so mm-hmm. where do you have to go to get a medical marijuana card if you can't get it from your primary care physician, who's the one who's going to say that you have chronic pain or something of that nature?
Yeah, so there are a lot of doctors that have like a private practice where they are signing certs. Sometimes, depending on the hospital or like organization that they're working under, they can't because of the hospital's insurance or because they can't. But there are like a whole, even on like the Illinois Department of Public Health website, there's a whole list of local health departments that have services or provide like a list of physicians that sign certifications.
Okay, so it may not be your doctor, but you can find a doctor. See, that seems kind of, I don't want to say fishy to me, but it sounds a little, wait a minute, I have to go find somebody who's going to give me this prescription or whatever. You're giving me a look.
Well, okay, so a doctor must sign the physician certification. The doctor is signing a confirmation or confirmation of a diagnosis.
Okay.
If you have a diagnosis that qualifies you for a medical card, you merely need the doctor to sign the certification saying you have this condition. And then you basically apply for the card through the Illinois Department of Public Health. Any doctor that can prescribe medicines can sign this form for you.
Okay.
Yep.
Okay. So then to get a medical marijuana card, is it free?
No, it's not free.
Okay.
It does have a cost associated with it, and it depends on how many years you sort of have the card for, either 1, 2, or 3 years in terms of expiration date. I believe they're also changing that come January 1st as well. Medical cards will last longer for certain patients that have more sort of chronic
illnesses.
Exactly.
Okay.
And there's also reduced application fees for those who are on Social Security or disability. Nice.
And what about a background check or anything like that? Let's say that you have some type of, I'm going to say a felony, but let's say you have something that's, you know, on your record or something like that. Would that exclude you from being able to get a medical marijuana card?
No.
Okay.
They used to have a fingerprint requirement, but they got rid of that a long time ago. So, no, you don't need it anymore.
Abigail Watkins is our guest, along with Paul Lee. They're from Dispensary 33 at 5001 North Clark in Chicago. Dispensary33.com is their website. And after the news, I want to ask you about why we would still need a medical marijuana card after January 1st, when recreational marijuana is available and you don't need a card or certificate for it. And I also want to ask you about the vaping controversy that is sweeping the nation now, and if vaping is indeed safe. And I'll talk to you about that right after we're done with the news with Vic Vaughn. 720 WGN, thank you very much, Vic Vaughn. Ken Smith with you, joined by Abigail Watkins and Paul Lee from Dispensary 33, dispensary33.com. Named one of the 10 most beautiful cannabis dispensaries in America, by the way, by Leafy. And I want to talk to you about the vaping controversy that's going on right now. So there have been a lot of, as a matter of fact, I've got people texting here to 312-981-7200 and 708 texts in. People have been vaping for at least 5 years. Why all the sudden respiratory illnesses? We were just talking about Riot Fest, which took place in Douglas Park a few weeks ago. And so I was asking some of the people there who vape, well, why do you think there's so many problems with vaping right now? Mm-hmm. And what they were saying was, if you're getting, and you can tell me if you think this is the case, what they were saying was, well, if you're getting your vaping products from a source that you can trust, something is that's reputable, then it's going to be fine. But if you're getting it from the guy, just some guy black on the street, market. Black market,
right,
then it's going to be no different than any other drug that you're getting on the black market throughout the years. They're going to do something to dilute it so that they can sell more of it and make more money. Mm-hmm. Is that what you think is happening?
I think I would say that I'm definitely not sure what's happening, right? But that's certainly a strong suspect, right?
Okay.
Illegal cartridges. I think even the CDC has said that a lot of the cases that they've looked at, of which I think there's like 800 cases kind of all linked to vaping right now, that, you know, a lot of them were linked to sort of illegal THC cartridges, or they had them in their possession or had used them. And I think it's true that when you're looking at unregulated products, you know, basically products that are made by who knows, right? There's no regulation on them. You simply don't know what's inside the cartridge itself, right, in terms of the liquid.
Okay.
A lot of them are going to look similar or have different flow rates that are going to look similar. So,
and the liquid that is in there is a oil, correct?
It's not an oil. Well, so it depends on who made it. And I think that's what people were saying. When you're buying from a regulated market, like if we take Illinois, for example, every single product that we sell in our dispensary has gone through vigorous testing, laboratory testing, that's telling you exactly what's in the product itself in terms of cannabinoids and terpene content, but also what's not in it, such as microbial testing, pesticide testing, solvent testing, and even basically any other particle besides what is in there in terms of cannabis or terpenes.
So long story short is if you are getting your vaping product from a legal Illinois dispensary or legal dispensary, wherever it happens to be, whatever state you happen to be in, you know what's in it and you know what's not in it. It has been tested and it is regulated.
Exactly, yeah. And the companies that are making it are not interested in taking shortcuts or making products, like you said, to dilute them.
Well, why kill the golden goose, right?
Pretty much. They don't have any reason to do these things. Just like another larger company in a regulated industry is not interested in breaking any rules just to save some bucks. It's something that they're all interested in making the highest quality product. And yes, the lab testing definitely tells us a lot in terms of how safe the products are, in my opinion, because of what's not in it. You know, basically, the microbial testing, the pesticide testing, and the solvent testing is telling us that these things are free and clear. They're tested to, they have to be under 10 parts per million in Illinois. And I think, like when you look at like Colorado, they're allowed something over 500 parts per million for some of their concentrates. So even within that subset of lab testing, Illinois is very, very clean.
Okay.
You know, so like that's just another indicator that yes, the products you're using, that is 100% cannabis, or, you know, if it, you know, does it have anything else besides the cannabinoids? Yes, it's these terpenes, but what does it not have? You know, like these sort of pesticides or other things that are known to be bad for people, you know?
So what is the difference between vaping? You know, somebody's coming into your dispensary for the first time, right? They have chronic pain. John Doe or Jane Doe has chronic pain. They've come into your dispensary for the first time. What would you suggest for them? Would you suggest for them a vaping product? Would you suggest for them actual flower, actual, you know, cannabis that they would roll, or it's pre-rolled, or I don't even know, and that they smoke? What would you suggest, Abigail?
Well, it really depends on the person and their experience level, like I said earlier, and also
let's say it's a first timer.
Yeah, I mean, well, smoking really is the easiest way to predict effect and predict dosing, just because exactly what you are smoking is the effects that you get from that is going to, like, after 15 minutes, you know exactly how high you are or how much relief that you're getting.
Okay.
Versus like edibles, you might not know what your correct dosage is the first time. But we always work with patients like when they come in to figure that out with them, or like what their goals are.
So that is something that you do at the dispensary, is you help the patient figure out what's the right amount for them, depending on whether or not they're vaping or they're doing an edible or they're doing straight up smoking.
Right. Yeah. It like Abigail said, experience level is really important. And at Dispensary 33, we really try to take effort to really take a history and find out, like she said, your goals or what symptoms you're trying to relieve, and then sort of point them in the direction that is sort of good for them. So yes, we definitely do recommend smoking, simply because you do know you're going to get all the cannabis and, you know, cannabinoids and terpenes, because smoking is very complete. It's also going to take the fastest of all the methods of consumption. And, you know, it's what we sort of recommend, but a lot of people, they don't want to smoke, you know, these days. So they will turn to something like vaping or edibles. And what's important to understand is sort of dosage. Right. Dosage is a very important aspect of using cannabis. So a lot of people don't pay attention to dosing, but it is important for especially beginners, because they don't know their dose.
Okay.
So we don't want them to be uncomfortable by taking too much. Right. There is a sort of a window of which pain relief or other symptom relief is at its highest. And if you go sort of too little or over it, it's not as effective as when you're in that window, just like other medicines as well.
Interesting. 312-981-7200. Johnny is giving us a call. Johnny, welcome to 720 WGN.
Hey, you know, I'm a faithful WGN listener, and I leave my radio on all the time with that on. And I just came home and I walked into this conversation you're having, and I was curious about when January 1st comes around, how are corporations, companies, whatever, going to rationalize that? It's like, are you going to be able to fail a drug test, or can they not use that against you anymore?
That's an interesting question. Thank you, Johnny. I know that the company that my wife works for, they're no longer allowed to ask or drug test for cannabis because it is legal in so many places.
That's cool.
Do you find that it's still... that could end up still being a problem in some places if you've got a medical marijuana card, or, hey, it's legal in the state of Illinois. Do you know, will an employer still be able to deny you employment because you have that in your system?
I do believe companies by law are still allowed to, you know, drug test, and they're not required to, you know, sort of keep people on just because it's now legal in Illinois. So okay. There are no sort of rights or protections in that way that I know of. However, I do think that many companies, and very large companies, are cognizant that, you know, it is legal, and, you know, what is the sense in cutting your workforce simply because of, you know, cannabis use? So I too have heard of very large companies, one in particular, that is now stopping drug testing in Illinois because of the law. You know, so
we were talking a little bit earlier about, you mentioned edibles. So vaping is the vaping of the, it, you know, it's like a vaping pen or it's a vaping cartridge that you inhale the vapors.
Mm-hmm.
You've got actually smoking the cannabis, the weed.
Mm-hmm.
Are they pre-rolled?
Yeah, or? We have pre-rolls. We have like what we call loose flower. Right, and that's like sort of what you think of in like the sandwich baggie that you get from your dealer, right? That's
a like what I have my bun. Long John Silver's crumbs in right now.
Exactly.
Yes, very delicious.
This would be lots of money on the black market here on the street, those Long John Silver's crumbs.
Right.
Okay, so what exactly is an edible, and in what form do these edibles come in?
Edibles is basically, it's called an infused product, where you use a cannabis extraction in order to infuse a food product with the THC. And they come in all different types of forms. The most popular are in general gummies or chocolate, and that's sort of what everybody is used to. However, now they have drinks, they have tablets, There are patches. There's lotions, gels. There's like so many different forms. I've seen hot chocolate. I've seen pasta sauce. I've seen not in Illinois, but I've seen it in other states. But truly, they come in every form. And now even there's infused dinners where people like cooks and chefs are actually infusing the dinner as you're eating it with primarily CBD. However, there are other dinners that include THC with their meals as well. And mostly in a low dose fashion, so as to not like completely destroy everybody. But it's becoming more popular, and so like infused products are definitely on the rise, and one of the best regulated products in the cannabis world for sure.
I haven't even had a chance to ask you about CBDs and what they're for, as far as the difference between CBDs and THCs. And I apologize, still haven't asked you about the difference between what's happening today if you have a medical marijuana card and what's going to happen on January 1st if you just want recreational marijuana. And what's the difference? Can you hang around for one more segment with me?
Yeah,
please?
For sure.
Yeah, definitely.
I appreciate it. Abigail Watkins, Paul Lee from Dispensary 33 on the north side of Chicago, dispensary33.com. If you have a question, 312-981-7200. Shoot me a text or give me a call. 720 WGN. Ken Smith with you until 1 a.m. Joined by Abigail Watkins and Paul Lee from Dispensary 33, 5001 North Clark Street in Chicago. Dispensary33.com. They were the first dispensary, marijuana dispensary, to open up in the city of Chicago. And you talked about pain management because of the cannabis. So what causes the pain, what eases the pain, is the CBDs, right?
No, I think most people use, when they experience pain relief from cannabis,
okay,
they experience it from the THC binding to what's called the CB1 or CB2 receptors.
Okay. Wasn't that a Chris Rock movie?
Just
that might have been CB4 or something. Yeah. Okay. Go ahead. I'm sorry.
So yeah, you have this system in your body called the endocannabinoid system. It's a natural system that everybody has, and there are these things called endocannabinoids that your body makes that bind to these receptors. In essence, when you smoke the cannabis plant or however you use it, the THC is going to bind to one of these CB1 or CB2 receptors, and that will do a whole host of things, you know, to the receptor site that it's binding to, including the release of, you know, different dopamines and things like that. It's essentially affecting certain parts of your brain. CBD is the second most abundant cannabinoid found in the plant. CBD is, when it is used in conjunction with THC, is going to affect its affinity to bind to either the CB1 receptor. CB1 receptors are located primarily in your head and spine. This is why when you smoke, it's going to stick mostly to those areas, we think, and why you quote-unquote get high, right?
Okay.
The CBD is going to sort of lessen its affinity to bind to that CB1. It's going to then want to bind to CB2 receptors located more throughout your body. So,
okay, so, all right, so you have chronic pain.
Mm-hmm.
And you need to go to work. So you don't want to get high before you go to work.
Mm-hmm.
Then what's your option?
So you're going to have to regulate your dosage mostly.
Okay.
Right? And certainly the type of pain is going to affect how you use either THC with CBD or just THC alone. For instance, THC is very good at nerve pain. However, if you have like more of a physical or joint pain, you're definitely going to want to add CBD to it in order to bring that THC more towards your body. So, and then when we're talking about trying to not get as high when you're going to work, you're going to have to work on your dosage, right? Because you're going to want to relieve the amount of psychoactivity that you have while still retaining some of that pain relief that you need. But there's lots of different pains that cannabis can resolve, you know? So it's not as easy as saying like CBD is for pain and THC is just for high.
Okay.
It's actually not like that at all. You can certainly take CBD by itself. There are studies there that,
because whenever I go to a street fest in Chicago, mm-hmm. there's always some tent set up where they're trying to get me to take some CBD drops.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
Is that just something that's completely useless, or?
I mean, I think the dosage needs to usually be raised. So like, we're not exactly sure what kind of dosages you need for CBD only. What's very clear, though, is if you use THC in conjunction with CBD, it becomes very effective at low doses.
Oh, interesting. Okay.
Yes, yes.
So even if you're taking THC with even a lower dose of CBD, that CBD is more effective with the THC.
The CBD is affecting the THC's effectiveness to go to other receptors.
Okay.
Yeah.
So January 1st, recreational marijuana legal in Illinois. What is the difference? What will be the difference between John Doe that has the medical marijuana card right now and John Doe who just walks into Dispensary 33 on January 1st at midnight, because I'm sure you're going to be open at midnight and have balloons and clowns and everything. And every news station in town will be broadcast. Will be outside going, oh, it's 10 seconds till it's legal. So what's
I wish we were able to open up.
Hey, come to my house.
So what? Oh, there we go. Okay, we're all invited to Paul's for his New Year's Eve party. So what's the major difference between the medical marijuana and the medical marijuana card and what you can do with it and just recreationally?
Yeah, so the current medical program won't change with the new law going into effect. So all the patients will still have their current rights as medical patients. So there's a 2.25. It really comes down to taxes. You're going to pay less in taxes. There's a 2.25% pharmaceutical tax built into the cost of all products right now. That's not going to change for medical. But for any 21-plus recreational customer, they're going to be paying 10% tax on any product that has less than 35% THC. They're going to be paying a 20% tax on infused products, which is like edibles. And then a 25% tax on any product that has over 35% THC. So that would be like a vape cartridge or a concentrate. So really it comes down to the amount of taxes you're paying. And also a medical card holder will have the ability to grow, home grow up to 5 root bound plants at home. And then also the ability to be able to have purchase more at a time. So a medical card holder can purchase up to 2.5 ounces every 2 weeks.
Which is, if you can compare it to my crunchies, what's 2.5 ounces?
It's 70 grams.
Okay.
Yeah, so it's like two of those.
Wow.
2.5 of those.
That's a lot.
It's a lot.
Yeah, 2.5 okay. is a lot. Okay. Bill has a question about... You got a question about CBDs, Bill. You're on 720
WGN. Yeah, you were talking a little bit ago about the CBDs for pain. How do you explain then the school bus driver, the young lady that got fired about 2 weeks ago in one of the suburbs because she was using the cannabis oil for back pain and rubbing it on her, and they pulled a drug test and she lost her job on account of that?
Okay, she's saying that a school bus driver lost their job because they were taking CBD cream and got tested and lost their job. First of all, that could have just been, well, she's driving a school bus, so maybe she's got a more stringent...
For sure. If you drive a school bus or have a commercial driver's license,
yes.
I believe you can't get a...
Yeah, you can't, you don't... If you hold a commercial driver's license, you do not qualify for the medical program in Illinois. You can't.
Okay.
And so if she was tested positive for THC, then that's probably definitely grounds for...
Well, she was saying that she took a CBD cream for back pain and tested positive for that, I guess.
But I don't know of drug tests that test for CBD, so I don't know the particulars of that.
Okay, yeah, I'm not sure either.
Yeah,
Bill,
I feel bad for her, but yeah.
But thank you, Bill, for calling in. You had mentioned the taxes. Are the taxes uniform statewide, or are they going to differ from county to county?
So there can be up to a half of a percentage of county taxes, and then up to 3.5% taxes per municipality. So the city of Chicago or like if another municipality Skokie. Can.
So it's kind of like a gasoline tax. You're going to have your state tax, but you could also have a county tax on top of it, and you could also have a city tax on top of it.
Right. Mm-hmm. Yes.
Liquor is similar.
Liquor, right. So it's just like every other
syntax,
syntax or vice or whatever you happen to call it. Although you said the taxes will be lower if you have the medical marijuana card.
Yes.
And the medical marijuana card costs how much?
I think it's $100.
$150,
yeah, so
I think.
$100 for 1 year, $200 for 2 year, and $250 for 3 years to the state.
Okay. So what are you expecting as far as when the calendar changes over to 2020? Is there going to be just an onslaught of people coming into your dispensary? And do you expect those people to be first time triers, novices?
I definitely think it's going to be celebratory, right? I think I'm going to see a lot of people who have been waiting quite a long time for Chicago or Illinois to do this,
mm-hmm.
Basically be free in a sense. So I think a lot of people on that particular day are going to want to just be part of the moment, right? It's going to be New Year's, and they're right. going to want to celebrate. But I do think during that first week, because of the way cannabis is, there's a lot of curious people who have not used or may I can't tell you how many people I've talked to that have not smoked since college, right? Like, that's like the number one thing I hear.
Well, and for me, those people wouldn't have smoked for a long, long time. For you, probably not so much.
I don't know. just Asian. But yeah, I just think that a lot of people, both like because of the popularity of cannabis now, there's so many people that are interested in just seeing what the store looks like, right? You see a lot of people, like we've been on that corner for 4 years, but you haven't been able to come in. But now on that day, you'll be able to
come in and see what's behind the curtain.
I want you to come in and say hi. Yeah.
That's exactly right.
It'll be a great day. Yeah.
Abigail Watkins and Paul Lee from Dispensary 33, 5001 North Clark in Chicago, dispensary33.com. Thank you for coming in and answering all of our questions. And if we have more questions, and I'm sure we will as we get closer to January 1st, please come back.
I would love to
have you back
in. Thanks for having us.
Thank you so
Hopefully
much.
We'll see you January 1.
Yeah. Sounds good.